Okay, good morning, everybody. That was a great segue that Nicole gave about the challenges of implementing an intervention and an evaluation at the same time. So I'm going to describe an independent evaluation that was conducted by my group at USC and in collaboration with some colleagues at the Public Health Institute in California, and this was an independent evaluation of the Planned Parenthood intervention. But of course, there was close collaboration among our agencies to pull all of this off. So I have, my colleagues and I have no relationships to discuss as far as financial relationships. Okay, so in terms of evaluation, Nicole described nicely rights-based interventions and some background about what has been done internationally and in the U.S. In terms of studying them, really this approach is nascent, particularly in the U.S. And there have been some field reports that show that it's promising. And people have had positive experiences. And there's been a few rigorous evaluations of conceptually related approaches that are targeting mostly young adult populations and particularly young adults that are already sexually active. But there hasn't been a rigorous evaluation of this kind of approach for a general adolescent population. So in that respect, we're unique. So Nicole mentioned that we did several years of formative and developmental evaluation. I'm not going to spend much time on that, but in essence, what we did is we did focus groups. They pilot tested various parts of the curriculum, both in parts and then as a whole, and we evaluated the short-term impacts of those. We did a lot of testing of our instruments. For the evaluation, we did interviews with students to make sure that they were understanding the items. And so that was an extensive set of research that took us about 2 years, and then we started the randomized evaluation after that. Okay, so I'm going to basically move through this slide very quickly because Nicole has nicely described the four components of the initiative. Okay, so for this particular presentation, the primary research question was, what are the effects of the rights-based curriculum in comparison to a control curriculum on short-term outcomes? And I'll describe in a minute what the outcome variables were. So even though there were four components of the program, this particular presentation is focused on the outcomes of the curriculum, which was implemented, you know, in the context of the other three components, which were school-wide. Now, why are we focusing on just the curriculum effects? The curriculum, in general, the curriculum was implemented first in the schools, and then the school-wide components were implemented sort of in sequence after that. And so we weren't really in a position to evaluate the overall effect of the four combined until the end of the school year. So this is a focus on what happened right after the curriculum was implemented. Okay, so we have a cluster randomized design. So we have 10 high schools that were randomly assigned to one of two groups. And in one group, the schools received the curriculum, they received the clinic component, the parent education component, and the peer advocate component. So the curriculum plus the three school-wide components. In the other set of schools, they received just the curriculum and the clinic component. Okay, then within both of those types of schools, we randomized classrooms to receive either the sexuality education initiative, so the rights-based curriculum, or a control curriculum. We had 91 classrooms that were randomized. So as Nicole mentioned, the SEI curriculum had 12 sessions. The control curriculum had 3 sessions. And this was a curriculum with that provided basic sexual health information and along the lines of what Planned Parenthood has done for many years when they go into schools. And then we surveyed students at baseline 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks after the implementation, and 1 year follow-up. But again, I'm not going to talk about the 1 year follow-up today. I'm going to focus on the post-implementation. Okay, I know this is hard to read. This is our logic model. You always have to put up a logic model, right? Basically, we have intervention activities, and what I'm going to focus on is that short-term outcomes column, which are, these are outcomes such as increased communication, increased knowledge, increased self-efficacy, intentions, increased access to services, and these are hypothesized to be mediators of the longer-term, intermediate and longer-term outcomes, which we will be testing in future studies. And those have to do with reduced pregnancy risk, reduced STI risk, reduction in number of sexual partners, and increased use of services, which ultimately is hypothesized to reduce the pregnancy and STI rates. Okay, so here's Los Angeles. We, in my view, implemented in some of the most challenging contexts that I've worked in my career. These were schools that were that are in areas where there's high pregnancy rates, relatively high pregnancy rates, and they're challenging schools. Okay, so the curriculum was delivered over an average of 50 days. The rights-based curriculum delivered by Planned Parenthood LA health educators who were trained. Control curriculum was delivered over an average of 9 days by volunteer educators. Recruited primarily or through PPLA, and as I mentioned before, the school-wide interventions were implemented throughout the school year, mostly after the curriculum. Okay, so our sample, I've mentioned these are low-income neighborhoods. We had, and the curriculum was focused on ninth graders, we had an 86% consent rate for the evaluation, and we were able to retain 94% from pre-test to immediate post-test. This shows you some of the characteristics of our sample. Majority Hispanic or Latino, relatively high acculturation, 3.81 on a scale of 1 to 5. Somewhat low proportion who had ever had sex relative to some other studies, 19%. Okay, so one of the things that's important to do in an evaluation is to look at attrition. So two questions you want to know is, do the people who drop out or whom don't take the post-test, are they different from those who do? And we did find some relationships or some differences in regard to demographic characteristics, but we did not find a difference in the, so the second question you want to look at in attrition is, was there differential attrition in your treatment in your control group? And we did not find that. Okay, so here are our outcome variables. As I mentioned the communication, knowledge, self-efficacy, intentions, and access to services. I didn't mention that we also developed two scales that got at or that assessed attitudes about rights. One set of items in regard to your steady partner and one in regard to your casual partner. And these attitudes about rights scales, we did a lot of psychometric testing of these and you know, got pretty good results in terms of their reliability. Okay, so we did a sophisticated multi-level linear and logistic regression model approach to look at the results, and this approach accounts for the fact that students are clustered in classrooms and that they're more likely to be alike, and then also it accounts for the clustering of classrooms within schools. Okay, so these are a lot of numbers. So bottom line is, so here are our 9 outcome variables. And the ones that are bolded, so 7 of the 9 outcome variables showed a significant difference between the rights-based group and the control group in the favor of the rights-based group. So The only two variables that didn't show a significant difference were communication with partners and in behavioral intentions to use protection during sex. So otherwise, we found significant results and you know, a range of effect sizes, but several of them, particularly the effect size in regard to the rights, attitudes about rights, and the effect size in regard to knowledge, were pretty high. Okay, in view of time, I'm going to skip this. These are just some results about what the students thought about the program, but in general, they were positive. They thought they were helpful, realistic, interesting sessions, not boring. Okay, so we found a largely consistent pattern of short-term effects of this rights-based curriculum. And this is consistent with the previous studies on rights-based approaches, although, as I mentioned in the introduction, most of them have not been general population, general adolescent population. This is, I think, an important finding because it's one of the first studies to look at a more general population. We also looked at whether there was differential effects of this curriculum on treatment versus control, differential effects by both gender, and whether the student had sexual experience when he or she came to the classroom, and we did not find evidence for differential effects. So again, that's encouraging news because at least some of the previous studies have just focused on women. You know, you weren't sure if it would have a equal effect or equal effectiveness with boys and girls or men and women. So one of the strengths, of course, is that it's a randomized design. We did extensive validation of our measures, as I mentioned. I didn't have time to talk about the observations of implementation fidelity, but we did do observations and we found strong evidence for fidelity, actually both in the treatment and the control conditions. And we had a good follow-up rate. However, some limitations that we should note are that we're relying on self-reports, and those can be subject to bias. And our control group is not equivalent in terms of number of sessions. So it's possible one could critique our evaluation design on that basis because we're comparing an exposure of 3 sessions versus an exposure of 12. So thank you to Planned Parenthood and the other funding organizations and to other colleagues and staff, and I should have added the schools that participated because we certainly owe them a lot of gratitude for participating to the extent that they did. So thank you.